Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. It's time for The Upswing on WTMJ. Presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Showcasing businesses, entrepreneurs, and community leaders throughout the great state of Wisconsin. Here's Jeff Sherman.
Because I'm going to make this place yours.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Happy 5th of July. Hope you had a festive 4th and going to continue it throughout the holiday weekend. Chances are you're going to buy or make ice this weekend. That's my guess. And maybe have a beer or two. Ice and beer. Big business here in the state of Wisconsin. Burgers. Also, very big business. So let's open the Upswing this festive Friday with Vince Vetrano's feature showcasing an executive chef of a local spice company, PS Seasonings, in Dodge County. A new line of burger spices might just be the future of toppings and something you should sample this weekend. Everybody wants
We started with a smoker company, actually. The founder built the smoker. He would make sausage in these smokers, and he would sell the smokers to local butchers and things like that, but then they needed seasoning for the sausage that they were making, and that's how the company started. We're sourcing ingredients from all over the world. Chili peppers, peppercorns, garlic, onion, even different salts. So it's all coming here. And it's blended here in Iron Ridge, which is very cool, at our production plant. When we thought of our burger seasonings, which is a burger line that we recently came out with, we were really looking for how to make the experience better.
I don't know why they call this stuff Hamburger Helper. It does just fine by itself, huh?
Like our works, for example, where we've got tomato, onion, cheese, mustard, and pickle all in the seasoning blend. And that creates a really cool flavor profile that, you know, it's all in one. It takes the outside burger and puts it in.
Did you intend that, Chef, to be something I add in the cooking process, or is this something I add after as a topper?
So it can be both. You can mix it into your meat if you're making burgers or something. What I do is I'll make my burger patties, and then I'll use it as a topical seasoning. And the key to it, if you ask me, Vince, is letting it sit on there for about 15-20 minutes before you hit the grill, because that'll help the salts dissolve a little bit and adhere to the meat a lot better before you go on the grill.
Talking with executive chef Jed Hansen from PS Seasoning, Iron Ridge, Wisconsin. Now, I bet you're going to like hearing this, but I threw some of, I think it was, is one of them called the Backyard?
Yeah, the Backyard, yep.
Yeah, the Backyard. Okay, so I threw some of that on top of some roasted asparagus, and it was ridiculous good.
Oh, sure. So there's natural butter flavor in there that really elevates that blend. Otherwise, you know, the salt, pepper, and garlic that's in that blend, it's been really popular. It's a pretty classic flavor profile, but that butter flavor in there really takes it over the top.
I got the recipe from the Ladies' Home Journal.
But we really try to stay ahead of the curve to make sure that we're giving something to the consumer that isn't out there yet and that they can really enjoy.
See, now, I prefer to think that it's you and a few of your buddies up there in Iron Ridge with a bunch of different yeah. spices and they add that taste. Try that.
Yeah, exactly. It's just throwing stuff in a bowl and mixing it up.
Right.
And, you know, that may be how it starts. But
there's some of that, though, right?
Through a little bit more refining than that, yeah.
Okay, but there's some of that, right? You ultimately got to taste it.
Oh, sure. It. Yeah, and you know, some of our team will cook things at home and bring things in. To start a conversation about how can we make this better or what can we do with this next. You know, it doesn't matter where it starts as long as we get something to the consumer that we're very proud of.
Do you ever have stuff, somebody brings something in and they're like, all right, I mixed this with this and this, you know, give this a try. And you're like, ah, nope.
you know what? I've been a chef for 18 years and even I have those moments still. So yeah, it happens to everybody.
They're not all winners, right?
They're not all winners, you know?
Everybody wants some. Hey, hey.
Made in Wisconsin, P.S. Seasoning. In Dodge County, you can find these spices at Sendick's Food Markets, local butcher shops, or visit them online. Good way to kick off the 4th of July weekend with P.S. Seasonings for sure. Next, can beer bridge the political divide? One Milwaukee neighborhood thinks so. Beer partisanship. It's here. This is The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank, and you are listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing, Roots Rockers, the Freddie Jones Band from Chicago, Illinois. Tonight at Summerfest at the Uline Warehouse. Indeed, Freddie Jones, great band. See him live for sure. All right, Jordan DeChambre, the Marketing and Communications Director for the Historic Third Ward Association, joins us via phone via the Tri-County Contracting Hotline as the city gears up for the RNC. The Historic Third Ward is bridging the political divide by showcasing kind of what made Milwaukee famous by cracking a cold one with a few beers. Jordan, how are you this fine morning?
I'm doing great, Jeff. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. Thanks for taking the time. How was your fourth? Festive?
Oh, it was lovely. Very festive. Boat, Summerfest, all the things.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I hope yours as well, too.
It was great. Parades, fireworks, food, fun, family. That's what it's all about. It's great. So I'm seeing all of these posters popping up around the historic Third Ward neighborhood right here in downtown Milwaukee. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. When you have an event like the Republican National Convention coming into your city, you know, there's a few different ways you can approach it. You can look at it and say, I'm just going to do a general marketing campaign for, hey, the Third Ward's an awesome neighborhood, come visit us. Or sometimes you're lucky enough to be approached by the creative director of Hanson Dodge Creative with this idea called beer partisanship. And suddenly you realize exactly what you have to do during that week. So we got very lucky. The idea that you can really sit down, have a beer, talk about anything with anyone with a beer of your hand, and you're likely to find some sort of common ground was incredibly appealing to us.
That's a good concept. So who is involved from a brewery standpoint, and how did you kind of find the selection process to find, all right, we need these two local brewers, and they're going to bring this beer to the table?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. So when this started out, it was really more of a project about posters and kind of recreating these political propaganda posters from years past, and what would that look like today with this concept of beer partisanship. And as the idea kind of grew and progressed, we realized this actually could be a really cool event as well. So we immediately approached the operators of the Third Ward Beer Garden because it felt like a perfect spot to sit down and have a conversation over, you know, a cold one. And then immediately reached out to Explorium Brew Pub, which is one of our amazing breweries right here in the Third Ward, to get involved, as well as Wizard Works Brewery, again, one of our neighborhood breweries. So, you know, it's this really great idea about even the breweries can come together and, you know, create this one exciting event. And we had this idea that maybe we would just utilize one of Explorium's amazing beers and rename it. So we decided that Reach Across the Ale would be the name that we would go with, and we would do a free limited edition tapping of this beer at the beer garden on Wednesday, July 17th.
Very good. So the two beers will be for sale at the event, but are they also for sale right now?
They are not. No.
Ooh,
we're going to be tapping.
Even better, more exclusive. I like it.
I know. Exactly. We're just tapping one barrel of this beer, but we will have Wizard Works is just, displaying one of their, offering one of their fantastic brews. It's not a specialty brew for this event. But it's really about bringing people together, having conversations, enjoying great beer, and even playing some really fun card games to get people of different party affiliations talking.
Yeah. How else, other than obviously this big event and special brews, How else is the neighborhood preparing for the RNC? Are you working with residents and retailers to, I mean, because, you know, it's still going to be incredibly accessible, and you're going to have a ton of overflow from people at Fiserv and who are in the security zone, but it's a really easy walk from Fiserv to Third Ward, so you're going to get a ton of new traffic for sure.
You know, Jeff, I really hope you're right. I really want that to happen. That is what we are hoping for. We are hoping people will just take a walk down the Riverwalk and, you know, head right down here to the Third Ward, because we are not in the security zone and we are 100% open for business. Our businesses are open. We have hundreds of businesses, as you know, from shopping to food and drink experiences, salons and spas, galleries. The number one public market in the nation, the number five best arts district in the nation. So we are truly hoping that happens. And honestly, it's a simple concept, but we just need to let people know that we're here and we're open. Because, you know, there is this fear, I think, from a lot of people that the city is going to be shut down and the only activity taking place will be in the Deer District. And it's just not true. Yeah. You know, our river is open. You can jump on a boat down here as long as you're south of Clybourne. There will be parking. You know, there will be activities and events going on. So we think our biggest challenge right now is just getting out that message that we're here, we're open, and we're really amazing. So you have to come down and check us out, locals and visitors alike.
Very good. Jordan DeChambre, Marketing and Communications Director for the Historic Third Ward Association. Jordan, stick around after the break, and we'll talk about Summerfest and new restaurants, new retail, and preview the rest of the summer in the Historic Third Ward. This is The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank. Welcome back to The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank. How one local downtown Milwaukee neighborhood is preparing for the RNC. Jordan DeChambre from the Historic Third Ward Association joins us this morning. So as you look ahead, you know, just about a week and a half to the RNC, Jordan, how's the early returns on Summerfest looking? It seems like the crowds have just been amazing.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I'm very lucky in that I both live and work in the Third Ward. So I get to see this neighborhood from a couple different perspectives. And this has been an incredibly busy summer. And I think, you know, so much of that is due to the city being in the national spotlight in a way that it's truly never been before. And, you know, we're lucky enough to have Dan, the restaurant of Top Chef contestant Dan Jacobs, right here in the Third Ward. So it's certainly given us a lot of exposure as well. But we're seeing that. I mean, and how amazing is it that we have so much great Third Ward representation at Summerfest? I mean, we have Dan there this year, Unfinished Legacy, doing a limited edition run of their apparel for Summerfest as well. Brew City brand apparel over at the grounds. So we're really finding ways to bridge that gap between the neighborhood and Henry Meyer Festival Park itself when festivals are happening there. But, you know, as I sit in our offices here at Chicago and Jackson, which is just off the main gate of Summerfest, there are already people, you know, kind of lining up to get in those gates.
Yeah.
So I expect that even with the, I don't know what weather pattern we have anymore where it rains every other day, but even with this kind of crazy weather, that Summerfest is going to have some great numbers this year.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think the next 2 days should be huge. You got Maroon 5 at the American Family Amphitheater tonight. So that will draw a huge crowd, without a doubt. And it's great to see, I think, whether it's Summerfest or any event, you touched on it perfectly, Jordan, that, you know, the local retail has another opportunity to get additional sales at a big event, whether it's the Milwaukee Night Market, Summerfest, or similar events. You know, bringing those two together, it's really powerful, and it's so important for local business.
Oh my gosh, it's incredibly important, Jeff. And, you know, one of the things that we did this year, we launched a new website for the Historic Third Ward last year that's giving us a lot more latitude in being able to respond and more accurately reflect what's happening in the neighborhood. And this year we partnered with Summerfest, and we created what we call the Summerfest itinerary. So if you go onto our website, one of the main stories is, hey, if you're in town for Summerfest, here are all the things that you can do when you're walking to Summerfest. Here are all the places where you can go and maybe stop and get a glass of wine or grab a t-shirt that might be really fun for the festival. And then if you're exiting, maybe you still want to hear more live music. So you find your way over to Evan Christian's Gibraltar, just literally a block from the Summerfest grounds. So we're trying to let people know that this does not have to be a one and done experience of simply going and seeing, you know, having an amazing time at Summerfest, but you can also enjoy this neighborhood and put money in this neighborhood that works so hard all the time, hundreds of small businesses. You know, people have their livelihoods are here. We want to make sure that they are making money during this really exciting time, really busy time, but that they're not getting kind of lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
So the itineraries have been a really great way for us to do that.
That's great. That's great. A one-stop shop. Stay in the neighborhood, stay in the city, experience yes. everything that it has to offer. So we got about one more minute or so. What else is coming up this summer in the Third Ward that people need to get on their agendas?
Yeah, for sure. So after Beer Partisanship, literally the day after the RNC ends, Gallery Night MKE Summer Edition begins. So that is July 19th and 20th. We have nearly 50 participating venues throughout downtown Milwaukee, Walker's Point, the Third Ward, East Town, West Town. So that's a really, really exciting time. We have some galleries involved in Bronzeville as well for the first time. And I'm really excited about seeing this event expand into that really emerging area of town. So really cool things going on. You know, as you know, we recently launched this augmented history experience.
Yeah.
We're really encouraging people when they're out and about for gallery night to, you know, go visit augmentedhistory.org and kind of take that tour of, you know, what would be art from the past.
We got to get to the bottom of the hour news. Jordan DeChambre from the Historic Third Ward Association. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Jeff. Take care.
Welcome back to The Upswing, the July 5th edition. Yesterday, right before the big parade in Shorewood, I walked to our local Metro Market and grabbed a 20-pound bag of ice, hauled it home. I always got to have fresh ice at home. I just don't trust myself making it. I want to make sure it's coming from the right water source. But, you know, I thought about it. It's like, you know, the business of ice hasn't changed a whole lot in 70 years or so. So I'm like, all right. We're heading into this big festive holiday weekend. Who can we talk to that can really kind of dive in on the business of ice and tell us what's coming in the future? And I found just that person. Welcome Dan Ginther, the co-founder of Rock Hopper Ice Collective. Dan, thanks for taking the time this morning.
Thanks, Jeff, for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Sure. All right. So my dentist, I'm not going to shame my dentist, but he always tells me that, like, chomping on ice isn't good for my teeth. I just totally disagree with them because I love all types of ice. I like the cubes. I like the shaved. I like, you know, I like all forms. Chomping on ice isn't bad for you, is it?
Well, I think it heavily depends on the size of the ice you're chomping on.
That is true. So give us your background and your story, and I want to talk about the company that you're brewing and growing here, right here in Pewaukee, Wisconsin.
Yeah, so I grew up here in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin.
Nice.
And I went to University of Wisconsin-Madison, and then I left for about 20 years. Did consulting across the Fortune 500, doing new technology, IoT, mobile apps, AI. Left that about a year ago because I wanted to go and try to build a product. I wanted to get away from services. And my whole career was about how do we take technology and do something nobody's ever done before that could be really valuable. And I think we found that with ice.
Hmm. All right. So what were you working in the restaurant and retail space? Kind of what led you to that revelation?
Yeah, it's a very funny story. As I left and was taking a little bit of a break, somebody that I used to work with texted me one day and he said, Dan, why is ice not on the menu? I said, what the heck are you talking about? And he said, it should be a menu item. He was out to dinner with his wife. They were waiting for their drinks. She likes the chewy types of ice, mm-hmm. the kind that you get at Sonic or Chick-fil-A.
Right.
He likes the cubes that have the hole in the middle. You can put your straw in it. You can play with it in your drink. And they just simply said, why can't we choose it? We can choose so many things in a restaurant experience. I want to be able to choose ice. And that started our journey.
Hmm. And so I noticed that Rockhopper recently, you were recognized kind of winning two big awards at the Wisconsin Governor's Business Plan Competition. And you're also accepted into the Food Finance Institute, into their 2024 cohort. How are those two things kind of propelling the business and your investment and how you want to grow it?
Well, I'm here today, I think, because of those competitions. So that's wonderful for us. You know, it's really only in the last 4 weeks that we've started to share our story more externally.
Yeah.
Prior to that, it's been very individual conversations. People tend to be very nice in those. You know, as we've reached out to the consumers and your audience here, we're excited to continue to get feedback. We think a large percentage of people do, in fact, care about the ice in their drinks, and they want to be able to choose it. And our mission is to help make sure that no matter where you go, the perfect ice that you want is available for you.
Yeah. And when we come back from the next break, so I have this thing, like, I'm not a Diet Coke drinker, but I know a lot of people are, and there's a lot of passion around it. People will go to a different spot, a different drive-through at a fast food place because it tastes the way they want it to taste. And the reality is, a lot of that taste is based upon the ice in the beverage, right?
You're absolutely correct. You know, I know Diet Coke drinkers that you can give them 12 Diet Cokes laid out on a table. They can tell you which franchise brand each Diet Coke came from. And half of them they won't go to. They don't like the nugget ice because they think it wrecks the bubbles. Others will only drink the Diet Cokes that have the nugget ice. But if you're Coke, it's not a good brand reputation if your product tastes different at every restaurant that serves it. And we think ice is a key component of that. And one of the types of ices we could help create is the iconic Coca-Cola ice, designed and formulated perfectly for their formulas so they could get a consistent brand experience.
All right. Dan Ginther, co-founder of Rockhopper Ice Collective, joins us on The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank. Welcome back to the... I'm going to say the ice swing. I was just going to say that. You know, producer Charlie's bringing the ice baby. Dan Ginther is talking about a new product, new company right here based in Wisconsin that is reinventing ice. And Dan, I have this theory, and I know you agree 100% that we are all a little bit obsessed about ice. We have our particular passions, how we want it to taste, how we want the chew to feel. And if craft beer works in Wisconsin, I kind of think craft ice could on a large scale.
You know, that's a big piece of our thesis, you know, is just like, you know, when commodities like, you know, 20 years ago, beer became a commodity, right? It was about how fast we could produce it, how cheaply, and everything started to feel the same. You know, and when that happens, capitalism does what it does best, and new markets are formed that cater to diverse preferences. We saw it with craft beer. We're going to see it with ice.
Yeah. So help us understand, like, how a Starbucks or a Dunkin' handles their ice right now. I know, like, some 12-year-old goes into Starbucks and she orders her drink. She's going to say, "Ooh, I want it heavy ice or light ice or delicate ice," or, you know, whatever that preference is. But how do they logistically create the ice, maintain the ice, and kind of inventory the ice and make it work for their business?
So Starbucks is a fascinating example right now. They have machines in the back that serve half cube ice. 80% of Starbucks drink come from 80% of their revenue comes from cold drinks now. Last year it leaked that they're changing their ice to the chewy nuggets you find at Sonic or Chick-fil-A. Reddit and social media went wild. Hmm. People excited and people angry. And I thought, you know, as you said, easy ice, heavy ice, that's not the option people want. What people want is, I want cubes or chewy nuggets, right? Why can't a place like Starbucks give that to them? And that led to the genesis of our product.
Do you see then an opportunity to, like, could like a Chick-fil-A or a McDonald's or even, you know, a smaller chain have their own ice? And that could that be a differentiator that people, hey, I'm only going to go there because they have better ice and maybe they could charge a little bit more for it.
Well, people already go to Sonic today specifically for the ice. We regularly see billboards that have no food or drink in the picture. So let me tell you what our machine is doing for those types of chains. We can create thousands and thousands of different kind of ices, but we're going to configure the machine for four. Let's think about Dunkin' Donuts. So Dunkin' can continue to offer solid cubes with our machine. They don't have to lose any customers to Starbucks because we can give them chewy nuggets as well. But then we also designed our machine to create a proprietary type of ice that could be specific to any type of brand. Could be an iconic Coca-Cola ice, but for Dunkin', we really think they should have their own donut-shaped ice.
Very good. And, I mean, you could see that expand to other verticals, if you would, too. You could see the brewers having baseball-shaped ice. And, obviously, bars and restaurants can kind of tailor things to their own mission.
That's right. Sphere ice is my favorite, so I would love a baseball-shaped ice. Same with Bucks in Town here. There's so many brand opportunities, you know, that go from sporting events to even things like, I think Marriott Bonvoy should have a Bonvoy ice only available on property. And we're excited that our technology and our IP can make that possible.
So I want to learn more about the machine itself. There seems to be, you know, not a ton of innovation in the old school ice machine that's, you know, 70, 80 years old. How do you plan to reinvent that from a mechanical standpoint?
Yeah, so we've been working for the last year on that. We filed, you know, we came up with a design and filed a patent last summer around how we thought we could make ice programmable. How do we control the density, the texture, the clarity, the size, and the shape? In January, we partnered with a Wisconsin firm named Delve here in Madison. We did about 4 months of engineering to prove that the design we had would in fact work, what it would cost for us to bring that to market, and go and validate and really de-risk all the mechanical aspects of that. We're excited that that's now wrapped up. And we're currently, you know, working to lay out, you know, what's our path forward in terms of who we work with to get to the end state, which is to let people choose the ice they want in their drink.
Very good. Dan Ginther from Rockhopper Ice Collective joins us today on The Upswing. When we come back, we'll wrap up the conversation with Dan. You know, ice really does need to be on the menu. This is The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank, and you're listening to WTMJ.
You're as cold. You're willing to sacrifice our love.
Welcome back to The Upswing. This is WTMJ's Jeff Sherman. Let's give away a gift card to the Mind Chef restaurant in either Hartford or Oshkosh. The Sherman family lives in the North Shore, but the Mind Chef in Hartford is a staple when we want to get the kids out of the attic, get them away from the Xbox, get them into the huge $2 million game room at the Mine Shaft. Mom and Dad can sit at the bar, have a drink, probably have some great ice in our drinks. But know that the kids are hanging out in the game room having fun. Caller number, it's July 5th. Caller number 5 at 855-616-1620 gets a gift card to the historic Mine Shaft. And planning for next week, a friendly reminder that Thursdays feature buy one, get one free pizza. Dan Ginther, Rockhopper Ice Collective, joins us today. So, Dan, there's a lot of passion around how we want our ice, how we want it to taste, how we want it to kind of feel in our mouths. But getting the business to the point where you have a large first client, what's that path look like for you?
Yeah, great question. You know, the way we have viewed this is, you know, we've ran a lot of customer research, consumer research, because it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what you think.
Yeah.
You know, I've learned over my two decades, it matters what the consumer thinks. And then how do you tie that to value? Right. And so when we look at consumer behavior with ice today and the results of our research, which is available on our website for anybody that wants to read it, you know, we come to a couple of conclusions. There's a set of people that go to one restaurant for their drink, your Diet Coke fans, mm-hmm. and a different one for their food. Right. Some percentage of those customers would buy a drink at the restaurant they go to for their food if it had their favorite ice. And so we've been able to build a case that say, hey, if you offer consumer ice choices with a simple machine like we offer, consumers will buy more, they will visit more, and they pay more. You know, we estimate that for your average quick service restaurant, a $75,000 a year opportunity. There's a lot of restaurants out there. That's a huge amount of market value waiting to be untapped.
Yeah, and there's a lot of big possible Wisconsin customer bases for you. You know, the Quick Trips, the Culver's, the Marcus Theaters of the world that all are serving ice on a daily basis.
Nothing would make me happier than to build this starting out of Wisconsin. This is the perfect place for a new company like this. We have a history of great ice machine companies like Manitowoc Ice. We have all the customer base you talked about, and we have a lot of the manufacturing capabilities that are needed. What we need and what your audience could help us with is help us get in touch with those brands and with those partners, people interested in bringing this idea to market. They can go to rockhopperice.com/WTMJ. We've got a feedback form sent up, and we'll give away some T-shirts to those that take the time to give us some feedback.
All right. So long term, how do you envision the technology kind of changing the landscape of, you know, venues that serve beverages? What's your big picture goal with Rockhopper?
Yeah, so our goal right now is to start with the back of house machine. Because once you move to the front of the house machines, the ones that are integrated with Pepsi and Coke, those are tied very much into distributor contracts. That's difficult for us. We can add a lot of value today. Places like Starbucks and Chick-fil-A, they have machines in the back. They take buckets out in the front. And we brought a lot of innovation to that too. No more scooping with our machine. We make it easy. Over time, we think we can go to new opportunities like in-home, consumer. But we really want to start with restaurants because we think that is the easiest value add that we can meet today.
All right, so you're walking in to get your beverage. What's Dan Ginther's ice selection?
Well, I'm probably in the 60% of Americans that actually say their preferred ice changes based on the drink, based on the day, on the climate.
All right.
You ever take a look at a Coca-Cola advertisement? They have different ice and different pictures based on the context of where the person is, and that's how I feel in my life.
All right, and that seems like the big opportunity for you is to truly be able to personalize that ice on a human level for the businesses first, but then for the consumer.
Yeah, you know, you talked about lack of innovation in the industry. It's really hard to compete when your output is a square cube. How do I differentiate my square cube of ice versus your square cube of ice? We're not taking that approach. We're taking the approach of differentiation based on you choosing what you want and our ability to provide a range of options.
And finally, kind of what's your timetable to get to the final product and prototype?
Yeah, so we've raised enough money to be able to build our next version of the prototype. But it's going to take a significant amount of capital to bring a big product like this to market. Machines today sell for between $6,000 to $16,000. Right. What we want to do is line up those investment partners so that we don't ever stall. I'd hate to build a prototype and then have to stall again. So we're out looking for corporate partners. We're looking for investors, you know, to help us make sure we've got the pathway that we can continue to run at speed with the goal of bringing the machine to market by the end of 2025.
All right. Very good. Dan Ginther, the Bright New Idea Award winner from the Wisconsin Governor's Business Plan Contest. Thank you for taking the time on July 5th today to talk ice. It's a perfect weekend to talk ice, beer, brats, America. This is a wonderful topic. I wish you all the best of luck.